for Friday, September 17, 2010. It's the Palaver Audiocast with Lost in Bronx. Episode 3, Social Ineptworking. Hello, this is Lost in Bronx. I'm not on Facebook. I'm not on MySpace. I don't have a website. Not ever look up my old classmates. I did Twitter for a bit, but it was spammy, and the only people I knew from the real world on there were a couple of names and faces from the misty past who I wasn't really fired up about bringing back into the here and now, if you know what I mean, and they hardly posted anyway. I met only one new person on there who was cool, but she was a Cockney Londoner who seemed to write like she spoke, and, well, honestly, I only understood about half of it. Nice person. We've lost touch. I do use Identica a bit, but just a bit. Hardly to its full potential. Not even to its empty potential. Okay, I don't know what that means either. What I'm trying to say is microblogging seems trivial to me. And by that, I mean in the sense of importance, not in the sense of technology or ease of use. Probably because I don't know how to use it fully or emptily. I'm a misanthrope. I don't admit to it any more than I admit to being middle-aged, fat, and balding. There's no need. I know the truth, and no one else cares. I'm online, but I'm not post-Web 2.0. I'm not even Web 2.0. I'm not even dot-com bubble. As alone as I am, I'm not alone in being alone. I think, though, that I sit in a somewhat unusual place in that I have an audiocast. I do insert myself in online conversations from time to time. But like many shy people, I'm oh so tempted to lurk. Lurk everywhere and lurk utterly. I mean, just who are these people? These people on the forums, on news groups, on Facebook, on Twitter, on Identica, whatever. I have no facts to back this up, but my gut instinct is that a vast number of users use the tubes with a Romulan cloaking device. Why are they unknown and undesiring of being known? Because, of course, they, or I should say we, because I really do include myself in their number, are all soundly afeared of rejection. Yes, that's right. I'm hearkening back to an old saw of mine. I'm referring to that arrogance routinely encountered in any community that we traverse. No offense to Mr. Bacon, who is unlikely ever to hear these words, but that crud don't hold for the regular surfer. Many of us, though we traverse the communities daily, are not really a part of the communities. Nor is this a fault thereof or on either end, because I submit that it is human nature to be afraid. Afraid of what others think, afraid of the consequences, afraid of all we hold as precious. Yes, dear listener, this is another assault on your patience, and we are going to examine one of the vast issues. Geeks do think about the fundamentals, surprise, surprise. And by geeks, do I include myself in this assessment? Oh, no. No. I'm a groupie. An outsider. The astronaut wannabe. The coder with no talent nor head for detail. But I am who and what I am. No tears shed there. Why bother? What I bring to the table is exactly the perspective of the outsider. The hope of the dreamer. I watch all of you. But the focus here is on the big picture. The one issue we, none of us, can ever escape or distract ourselves from enough. Time. Yes, old saw number two. I'm going for the record, folks. Time. The one thing there is quite literally never enough of. How strange. In the billions of years of existence thus far and the effectively infinite number to come, we somehow have not been given enough time to work with. Again, how strange. Why wasn't it spread out a little more liberally? It's like there's a shortage or something. Right about now, I could go into thoughts on religion or life eternal or whatever, but I'll leave that sort of stuff to Information Underground, cha-ching, cha-ching. No, this bag of blather actually does have a purpose, believe it or not. Specifically, how do we spend our time? Who do we choose to spend it with? In this shallow, tacky, high-tech era, who do we call our friends? Are you alone out there, married or committed or no, feeling disconnected or disassociated? Do words on a screen stand in for a hearty handshake for you? Then sister, brother, you are in silent but very good company. This is who we are, most of us. A colon and a closed parenthesis near enough to being the only smiles we get or give anymore. Community? Hell, go for it. You might well become a handle, a screen name known to other screen names. And you'd be happy enough for that, wouldn't you? Happy enough to get your 15 milliseconds of highly localized notoriety? Of course you would. You are only human. But you see, under all this crap I'm spewing, this is the gist. That we don't want to be humans, isolated and ineffectual. No, we need to be a part of something greater than ourselves, because otherwise all the pain, all the drama, all the sorrow and work, none of it means anything if all we are meant to do is live and die. So we come together and we form societies. Yes, I use the ugly word. Community is the pretty word, but we know what we mean, don't we? We join, we participate, we add to the conversation, or not. Who the hell is listening anyway? It's the great silence, folks. The real face of the networked world is largely blank, largely noise. The characters, the clowns, the entertainers, no matter how they paint themselves, it is they who grab our ears and eyes. It is they, the celebrities, the celebrated ones, who somehow extort our time and attention and energy. And yet, you know, despite this abject cynicism, without these people, we'd have no societies, no communities, no thing greater than ourselves. Despite this, we look for them, and all of it anyway. Because we are wired for beauty, for weakness. Yes, both, and in equal measure, and maybe because they are one and the same. Maybe I foameth at the mouth. If so, my apologies. If not, though, be warned. Your time is, without any need of hyperbole, extremely limited on an astronomic scale, fleeting, as it were. And you'll hear salesmen in many guises. Some of them will peddle you a tomorrow they cannot possibly see, cannot possibly know, save through the sales pitches of others long dead. While different folks will perform the medicine show of the digital age, begging you to see the virtue of their wares. Are we truly made thus? Are we nothing more than apes in a pack? Of course not. And of course we are. Sometimes our grace is shortchanged as much as our decay is raised. We are both the finest and the foulest of this world, of this digital world, and real one to boot. So what the hell is my point? What have you, dear, dear listener, invested your irreplaceable time upon? Just this, that we add to the world, the digital world, the real world, the spiritual world, whatever world we value the most, we add to it only in as much as we value ourselves, as we see ourselves and our offerings as being worthy of others' time and attention, commodities the value of which cannot be calculated. As we see ourselves expending these things, we are called upon for the most awful societal or community-based responsibility imaginable. Consideration of the other. Goodness knows there are plenty who either fail to do this or who choose not to. Goodness knows we could all use the kindly thoughts of others now and then. I'm back to that arrogance thing, but you get it now, right? We're here. We matter. The things we do, the dramas of our days, we matter. On Facebook, on Twitter, our thoughts, our hopes, our personal outrages, we matter. The music we love, the movies we hate, all of it, all of us matter. Or maybe not, because I gotta tell you, I can't stand that crap. And I believe there are many who feel the same. Are we modern hermits living alone in the webby wilderness? Those of us who see this irritating trend of tweeting, denting, blogging, Facebooking every stray thought that passes through what passes for our brains? Or archiving every bowel movement or unremarkable achievement in the mundane moments of our days? Are we the head cases here? Or have the inmates taken possession of the asylum at last? Has the inevitable march toward mediocrity that first began with the baby boomers, those wondrous idealists of the 60s and 70s who put the hippie in hypocrite, have their forgotten values finally resulted in a world, digital or otherwise, where a woman or man with absolutely, positively nothing to say feels odd, uncomfortable, even isolated for not saying it anyway? Well, I say, to hell with that. No one cares what I had to eat for lunch. No one cares if I exercised or not. Only I care, and often not even. Please, we don't have to go back to the Victorian era, but can we have just a pinch, a smidgen, the tiniest fragment of class, of decorum? No one should know every aspect of your life, because most of it is not just forgettable, it is noise. It is a mind worm, a ringing in the ears. You're tearing me apart! But of course, by me, I mean you. Because I'm not actually listening, remember? I believe people are filling the void of comradeship and fellowship in this century with a background buzz. An incessant, insective cacophony upon which they are building their lives. This is our present, which is pouring into a future without style or a sense of self as it has been traditionally understood. Beyond postmodern, beyond digital, it's looking to me like nothing less than a true, though virtual, utterly unpredictable demolition and reconstruction of the human condition. We all want to fit into a community? No. No, I think most of us would be happier if the communities all fit themselves into us. We want it all tailored, all adjusted and nipped and tucked until the communities fit us like comfy boxer shorts. I contend that we are not creating communities anymore than we are communicating when we post the minutiae of our days. We're like senile dogs who bark at stray cats and then keep on barking because we've forgotten how to shut up. But that's it right there. We all want to be heard, but we don't all have something to say. At least, not every waking moment. By all means, micro, macro, and mediocre blog your trip on this earth. But would it kill you to have a little content, just a bit, every now and then? Honestly, you don't need to repost that Slashdot or Dig time suck you just clawed your way out of. Or links to shocking news that's a year and a half old. I mean, come on, have a heart. Think of your readers. Think of your old buddy lost in Bronx, who's not really listening, but let's pretend, and the seizure, the rapidly approaching critical mass of utter nonsense that the many networks of the computer world will soon experience. We have spam filters that work pretty good these days. Why then don't we have crap filters? Can't be that hard. You could start with this episode even. No skin off my nose. Just put a big strike through on anything L&B. It won't hurt. It'll be good for you. A brilliant first step. Just don't stop there. Because the clock is ticking. And you're pissing away the moments, telling strangers how you're pissing away the moments. Feedback! I didn't get any. except for this one guy on the IRC, forget the name, who said his podcatcher couldn't catch this show. My RSS feed kept giving his podcatcher agita or something. Well, naturally, that's because this is an audio cast, not a podcast. Well, fact is, this show is being hosted on a Gopher server, and fewer applications these days know what to do with that. That's a sad thing. I like Gopher. I think it's better than the web, even if it's not so well known anymore. Purity through obscurity, that's my motto. And while I'm at it, I have had some people crabbing that they can't see the Gopher pages. If that's you, it's because you're using a web browser. See, because http://, is not gopher:// Different spelling there, see. You need a Gopher client to see a Gopher page, or a Gopher plugin for your web client. A marvelous plugin for Firefox, and supposedly Chrome, does exist. It's called Overbyte. I recommend it. It rocks. You can grab that at http://gopher.floodgap.com/overbyte/. See? Who loves you? I'm all about the content, baby. The text browser Lynx, L-Y-N-X, renders Gopher pages natively and is a popular choice, too. There are others. Maybe you could tear yourself away from Gwibber for half a mo and have a look-see. Or maybe I ought to tweet about it. Oh, God. Take care. You can contact me at lostinbronx@gmail.com. That's LOSTNBRONX at Gmail. You can find the script for this episode on my Gopher space. That's gopher://gopher.info-underground.net/1, the number one, /lostinbronx/palaver/. Don't forget to use a Gopher client or a Gopher plugin for that. The music for this episode is called I Dunno by Grapes, found on dig.ccmixter.org. Palaver is released under a Creative Commons Attribution Sharealike 3.0 unported license. Feel free to copy or use it for any purpose, even commercial. Just say where it came from and pass it along in the same way.